Sermon for May 16, Lakeview Presbyterian Church. Sermon title, And Then There Was One. Who remembers how many commandments there are? I only see one hand. Actually, there are 613 commandments in the Bible, and that's just in the Hebrew Scriptures. So it may come as no surprise to you that nobody keeps them all. What may come as a little bit of a surprise to you is that in my 40 years of ministry, I've never met anyone who even tried to keep all the commandments, or who even wanted to. They're in the Bible, they're commandments, so why wouldn't people want to keep them? Well, many of the commandments are no longer relevant. Many talk about worship in the temple, and since the temple no longer exists, they are no longer relevant. Some speak about how a man must treat his multiple wives. So unless you're a radical Mormon, these don't apply to you. Many of the commandments we consider to be no longer relevant because they're cumbersome and call us to do things that we don't usually do. Like how to build a shelter to live in during the Festival of Booths. Most of us are way beyond the time of camping out, and most of us don't even know when the Festival of Booths is. It also commands women to not leave the house without their heads covered. Unless you're an observant Muslim, this probably isn't of much interest to you. But you can also forget about wearing pants. Some we want to ignore because they inconvenience us. Like the Sabbath restriction. Some do wax nostalgic about the old blue laws and talk about how much better life was when we closed the stores one day a week, but we don't even want to think about closing the stores on Saturday, which was the prescribed Sabbath. We also don't want to stop to say our daily prayers at the prescribed time whenever and wherever we are. And sometimes we just want to break the laws. Sometimes I just want to eat shrimp or crabs or bacon. Isn't everything better with bacon? Or how about a rack of ribs? I have it on good authority that some of you here like beef stroganoff and pizza with meat. And what could possibly be wrong with a ham and Swiss sandwich, except the Bible says it's wrong? I'm sure that by now some of you are thinking, well, that's the Old Testament. We're not bound by the Old Testament. But, well, you're not going to be much happier with the New Testament commandments. Turn the other cheek, return kindness for evil, pray for those who despitefully use you. Wouldn't that perpetuate abuse? Or give to everyone who begs? Wouldn't that simply create a permanent dependent underclass? In James Michener's book, The Source, one of the characters, a Jew, explains Judaism this way. Judaism can be understood as a fundamental philosophy directed to the greatest of all problems, how can man live together in an organized society? Well, I'm not sure that summation of Judaism is fair. In the collection of 613 commandments, there are many that cover an individual's relationship to God, but I understand where the idea comes from. The Jewish tradition has tried to create some sense of order in human society through rules of the law. The problem is that people are people and they find a way to circumvent the law. So thousands of applications were outlined in the Talmud to attempt to address every human condition and situation. But people kept finding ways around the law, and the law finally became too complicated and too restrictive. And so people began to consider the laws irrelevant or simply chose to ignore their burdensome demands. Some people say, well, if we just follow the 10, we'll be just fine. But we don't really even agree on those. thou shalt not kill, must have some exceptions. I mean, what about just war or police violence in the cause of promoting the common good or capital punishment? Doesn't the book itself even say an eye for an eye and a life for a life? And what's to be done with thou shalt not covet? That's pretty ambiguous. I once heard someone explain that the commandment says to want your neighbor's house or wife is wrong, but it's okay to want one just like it. Is that really how it works? That doesn't seem to work for me. And isn't it really okay to move the Sabbath to Sunday if we're willing to go back to closing the stores? In our reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter was facing a legal dilemma. He had been a law keeper all his days. Now, if you read the Gospels carefully, you may question Peter's assumption that he had been a law keeper all his days, but at least he had kept the dietary laws. And now he was being told to act like a Gentile, to eat foods that were unclean, like pepperoni pizza and beef stroganoff. This may seem like a petty restriction to us, but for the Jews, it was part of their identification as God's chosen people. What they wore, what they ate, women covering their heads and men not cutting their beards, were outward signs of that they were covenant keepers. This distinct lifestyle for the Jews is what has made them such easy targets for persecution throughout centuries. They are easily identified by the signs of their faithfulness to God. Peter was being told that when the law does not serve human needs, when it divides God's people, it needs to be set aside. Peter said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection." When Jesus was asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Well, when we reduce the 613 commandments to just two, we should be able to find some consensus, right? After all, how complicated can it be to keep just two commandments? But for some people, loving God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind was interpreted as keeping the law, living the lifestyle as carefully spelled out in the book, which included maintaining those things by which God's people are identified. What you wear and how you cut your hair, when you work and when you pray, but also not associating with Gentiles, things that divide God's people. A couple of weeks ago, I shared that I once worked in a Catholic hospital. One of the patients I was working with was getting close to death. She was a devoutly religious person and had been estranged from her son for some time. She asked me if I would contact her son and tell him that she was close to dying. She said she hated to put me in this predicament, as the only way she knew to contact him was at work, where he was a bartender. And she hated to ask me, as a Christian, to go into a bar to find her son. For this woman, going where the unclean people go was a difficult thing to ask. It is a violation of the greatest commandment to love God and be holy. Or at least it's a violation of the commandment to not associate with unclean people. In a previous parish, a man with a very shady reputation was killed in a hunting accident. It was big news, so everyone in town knew about it. a member of our weekly Bible study ask how a Christian minister could conduct a funeral for such a person, someone who was so obviously unclean. Last week, Lois asked for prayers for one of our granddaughters whose longtime boyfriend had died. She is the only one of our children or grandchildren who attends church regularly. She works in the church. Her boyfriend was a clean-cut, polite young man whom we all liked, and he died of a heroin overdose. No one ever suspected him of using drugs. Who are we to call unclean? As Jesus was preparing to leave his disciples, he said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now the 613 commandments are reduced to just one. In James Michener's The Source, in response to the Jews' summation of Judaism, his Christian colleague replied, "The real religious problem is always, how can man come to know God?" How can we come to know God? As Christians, we know God through Jesus Christ, God made flesh. And when we seek to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, we must seek to love one another as Jesus has loved us. As it is written in 1 John, the 13th chapter, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and they hate their brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also, even those the law calls unclean." In Jesus of Nazareth, God came to walk among us. He healed the sick, he bound up the broken, and he ate with sinners, with Gentiles, which includes we Christians. It includes a lot of other people too, but they're all people just like us. Those whom God has made clean, we dare not call profane. And those whom God has loved, we dare not disdain. Amen.